Recording level is set at 10. Microphone is 2 feet away. November 10th, 1984. Recording Mr. Collins DeBall in New Orleans, Louisiana. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. Louisiana.
Is that close enough? Because yes. I have to speak slowly.
No. Oh. Just speak.
Is that the microphone?
That's the microphone. Just speak at your regular pace, and it'll be fine. I wondered if you would.
Will that take your voice too?
Yes. I wondered if you would tell again all that you can remember of the actual transaction that took place with T.L.L. Temple, and how it was that the contact was made, and so forth.
Well, the DeBall family, which was one half of the ownership of the Copes estate, being descended from Elizabeth Copes, and the other, her sister, having moved to Arizona after marrying an army officer, represented the other half interest. We sort of took turns managing the affair, selling the timber and paying the taxes and other things. At the time the transaction with the Temples took place, to my knowledge, it was my uncle, Dr. Joseph Copes DeBall, who handled the transaction and signed for the two families. He, in selling the land and the timber to the Temples, retained the mineral rights, but he elected, with the family's permission, to give the mill site to the Temples, or it was part of the land purchase. I do not know the reason why they named the whistle stop on the branch railroad Dieball, but I presume for the amity that existed between the two members of the transaction, Mr. Temple and Mr. Joseph DeBall. It is my understanding that the Temples named the town DeBall. We did not. Mm-hmm. And it was a nice compliment, which we've been grateful. Although in Texas it's pronounced DeBall, and New Orleans it's pronounced DeBall. Mm-hmm. The family emigrated from Flanders to England during the wool trade area, and DeBall was either a proprietor or a journeyman weaver. And presumably they progressed with basic educations and so forth until the DeBall that I met during World War II, when I came to England with an engineer combat battalion, was named Percival Joseph DeBall, D-I-B-O-L-L, and I accidentally discovered each other when I deposited money that I had won coming over on the Queen Mary. And the clerk noticed the spelling of the name and declared that it was unusual, because the secretary of the Barclays Bank in London was Percival Joseph DeBall. Is this what you want me to say?
That's fine, but you don't have to go into all of that. I just wanted to know if there were any more specifics about the transaction I should know. For instance, was it exactly 7,000 acres that was sold, or do you know the exact amount?
It's a dispute involving several hundred acres. It's not clear. Uh-huh. But basically, it is 7,000 acres, and we always referred to it as 7,000 acres.
Yes.
How they came together, I presume that the Temples, seeking timber to be cut, discovered the property and, I presume, made an offer to the family through Dr. Coe, through Joseph DeBall.
I see.
And the family had been living, two families had been, had their incomes greatly benefited by selling off the timber on the lands of Dr. Coe's.
Yes. Would you be willing to say what the price was per acre at the time?
This is a matter of notarial record, and I don't even know that my father would have remembered, and I don't remember. Mm-hmm.
Would it be possible to see any of the deed records?
I wouldn't know where to look for them. We have them bundled up in great boxes. But whereas I do believe that that original transaction is in the files of the Temple Company.
Oh, I see. Okay, well then they can answer that question for me.
Yeah.
That'll be fine. Okay, how about that deed to the pew in the First Presbyterian Church? Is that somewhere that can be seen?
I'll have to find it. I've found it and lost it or misplaced it several times. But the owners of the pews in a church at that time were the owners of the church, like stockholders in a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Coates had some time in his attendance on the First Presbyterian Church, and his friendship with Dr. Palmer, the pastor, acquired a pew, having purchased it from Mr. West.
Okay, my next question concerns the codicil to the will that your grandmother, or was it great-grandmother, put in. What was the relationship of that codicil to the eventual land that was sold to the temples, or was there any relationship?
No, there was no connection. This merely set up the fact that the children would not be distributed amongst friends, but this English housekeeper, Mrs. De Ball, my great-grandmother, had employed and trusted implicitly, was that she would conduct the household and the three children would live there until they became mature.
I see. So there was no...
There was no reference of heirship or anything at all. It was merely in direct relationship to the conduct of the children's progress.
I see. Would you tell again your grandmother's full name and your mother's full name?
My mother's name was Frances Blocker, and my grandmother's name, the mother of my father, was Elizabeth Copes.
Elizabeth Copes.
And the daughter, one of the two daughters of Dr. Copes, and she married Collins de Ball. No, I got that wrong. She married Jason Torrey. She married Jason Torrey de Ball, who also came from the Philadelphia area to New Orleans to work for Dr. Copes, and wound up marrying the boss's daughter.
I see. That was that connection. Okay. You had mentioned yesterday the absentee landlords that owned land in Texas. Were most of them in Louisiana? Or were they?
No. This was a general interest in a property such as Texas, which at one time, of course, was a republic before it joined the United States. And the rebellious armies that broke the relationship with Spanish Mexico was supposedly generally recruited and so forth out of New Orleans and the New Orleans area.
Yes.
But there's no evidence that I know of in the ownership of land that it was particularly related to Louisiana or New Orleans. Dr. Coates merely was fascinated with Texas and Texas lands and purchased many hundred thousands of acres at 5 and 10 cents an acre. And the basic distribution of that, I don't know. It's possibly a matter of record, but I don't have it. But referring to the acreage in Texas, I remember the story told that the contractor from Chicago that built the Texas State Capitol was paid off by a swap of 300,000 acres of Texas land for his bill.
That was a lucky deal, sounds like to me. Well, next I have to make sure to get the relationship right between you and Wilkie Collins. Could you tell that again?
my ancestress, Philura Louise Collins, mother was a Huntington, and the Collinses and the later the DeBalls are in the Huntington Family Book of America. But this Miss Huntington married Wilkie Collins, and I have a geography book given by Wilkie Collins, a short story writer of known repute, to my father, Collins DeBall.
I see. So your father's name was also Collins
DeBall. Yeah. But he got that from my ancestress, Wilkie Collins.
I see. Okay. Do you know very much, or do you remember stories about the way the early lumber industry was capitalized in Louisiana and Texas?
No, this is generally, I believe, a sort of a family industry, and Mr. Templeton, of course, can enlarge on this. I think I remember told that when they sold the 7,000 acres to the Temples, that they moved an elementary sawmill equipment on there and operated the sawmill with his several sons and himself.
So it was just very small.
But this was a family industry. And due to the zeal and effectiveness of the Temples, they have grown to where they are. This is true of other lumber interests, particularly in the Northwest, like Zillerbach and Weyerhaeuser.
Mm. Those were family industries also.
Yeah.
But you wonder about these family industries. It seems almost as if at some point their zeal for improving the family fortunes translated themselves into civic zeal. Do you have that feeling about some of these
concerns?
Well,
they were obviously indomitable, formidable family, but with a great sense of leadership and compassion also, because it's pretty very evident that in the expansion of their business and the sawmill, which is one of the largest in the world, at Dybal, had a steady employee supply from people seeking employment and presumably able to respond to the opportunities offered them by the Temples.
Yes. It seems also that the Temples took advantage fairly early on in the industry of the new scientific knowledge that was available in their field, too, and put that to good work, wood chemistry and so forth, and forestry.
They seem to have efficiently applied themselves to the advancements of themselves and the advancement in the technique of the industry. Any of the details of the conduct of their operation, I have no knowledge, merely observe the results.
Yes. Uh-huh. One of the things that strikes me in doing this work, talking to people about the growth of industries, and particularly small family or one-man successes in America during these decades, is the story of the big chance, the lucky break, and of putting ingenuity and energy together in new ways to come up with entrepreneurial success.
Well, you see, the country in general was expanding, and Texas was prominent in that. And what they supplied to build the homes of the people was lumber, and there was an insatiable demand for that, and they met the market conditions of supply and demand. I think early on they assisted in the financing of homes for which their lumber was used. And what may have been a business interest actually had the result of being a humanitarian application.
Yes.
When one discusses luck, I'm reminded of the definition that look as opportunity implemented into action, and this is the truth of many successful families.
Yes, it certainly seems to be. Let me ask you also about this clause that was in the deed of the mill site about no liquor to be sold or consumed on the premises.
We only discovered this when the family sold off building lots into what came to be called Copestown.
Yes.
And Dr. Copes was quite a prohibitionist and evidently put into the deed of all of these lots that none of that property would ever be used for the storing or selling of liquor. This is called our attention by the Temples when they wished to get FHA financing, mm-hmm. and any qualification to a title had to be eliminated.
Oh, I see.
And this was the first we heard of it, but promptly circulated a necessary petition amongst the heirs.
And it was then eliminated?
It was eliminated.
I see. Was this when they were working with Neil Pickett to get Federal Housing Administration backing for what they wanted to do there?
I do not know the name Neil Pickett, mm-hmm. but either the Temples directly or providing the push involved to help the lower income people to build a home. They were very effective in their connections of getting the FHA loans and Copestown approved as a small subdivision.
Yes, I believe it was with Mr. Pickett. I was wondering also whether Dr. Copes or whether Joseph Copes Duball foresaw the lumber industry at the time that they were acquiring the land and selling the
land. With no disrespect to my ancestors, they were not developers, but lived off the proceeds of diminishing capital by selling off their assets of both timber and land, and although the times were bad and they needed the money, I have no recollection of them engaging in any development activity of Dr. Cope's estates.
Mm-hmm. Nothing like that. So it was a diminishing proposition.
It was a diminishing proposition. If they had had the ability and the funds and the zeal to carry on Dr. Copes's intentions, it is impossible to believe what the development would have been, because many oil fields in Texas have been developed on property at one time owned by Dr. Copes.
Yes, oil fields. Okay. Well, that's about all the questions I have. Unless you would like to wrap it up by discussing the politics of economics, what you saw, you were actively engaged in an entrepreneurial business during the years since the Depression, and if you would care to comment on FDR and after. I know that's a bit of a tall order for a question, but if you have any comments in that area, I'd like to hear.
Well, although Franklin Roosevelt was not popular with capitalists, he certainly sold himself to the general public. And when he would come on the air with his opening phrase, "My friends," why, he got immediate attention and support, and the votes from national and local level that the members of Congress, whether they were as enthusiastic as was he or had his foresight, they certainly were opportunities provided and protection provided to lower income people. And it is my understanding that the only national election that excelled the recent one by Reagan was Franklin Roosevelt's several elections. Franklin Roosevelt was the guiding spirit here, but our own governor, Huey P. Long, caught the humane football and carried it greatly forward in many things in anticipation of what Roosevelt may have done, but he got the credit. Whether he was, to what degree he was sincere, I don't know, but it was very effective to bring common people into the mainstream of politics.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has been effective. Well, that's all I wanted to ask you. Do you have anything else you think that we ought to know?
Well,
did I put this book together?
In my ramblings, right and left, if you wanted to, the records that we have, the Dyballs, through the banker, Percival Joseph Dyball, whom I met by, who I became to know of by accident, and his statement, the effect that Dyballs was a Flemish family and were Flemish weavers. And in the wool trade of England, this was an important unit. And at what time he went to England and settled there and prospered in the wool trade, I do not have the dates. One of these days I may attempt to run it down. But his descendants must have been active, because the only one I was able to identify was Percival Joseph Dyball, the secretary of Barclays Bank in England, and I met him in 1940, the early part of 1944. My sister corresponded with him, and they exchanged various things. And then Dr. Virgil Miller Dyball came from London to Pennsylvania, but seemingly in estrangement from his family, because he never met with them, or did they come to America. And as Dr. Virgil Miller Dyball was seemingly an itinerant and traveling minister, and the family tree would show who he married and so forth, but the Dyballs came into the interest in the Texas property through marrying into the Cope's family. Let me get this family tree thing. You might find it of interest.
Oh, yes, I'd like to see that.
Don't let that key fall somewhere. Keep that.
I'm keeping my eye on it. Don't worry.
I wish I had more knowledge of Dr. Cope's adventures and our endeavors in accumulating this large degree of Texas property, because based in New Orleans, he would either go overland by way of Donaldsonville, which was a jumping off place, or to Natchitoches, because there was a French fort at Natchitoches and there was a Spanish fort at Nacogdoches, Texas.
Yes.
And these two Latin nations, although closely related in their acquisition in North America, was highly competitive. And the Spanish fort was built to prevent further French expansion westward, because Spain at that time, of course, had all the way up to California. And but he must have been a pretty intrepid person, because he operated as far as Fort Worth. And I don't think in those days of... Now, I don't remember when he died, but I have the impression that it was in something like the 1880s or 90s. And he was active in business all that time, and whereas his original holdings may have been after he came to New Orleans from his assignment with the Choctaw Indians, and at what period in his life he went on such an expansion spree of acquiring Texas lands, but his grandsons by his two daughters were not mature enough to have the spirit to be enthused and carry on the development of the property acquired by Dr. Copes. Mm-hmm. He is a little bit of a man of mystery in that my father and his older brother were 12 or 13 years of age during part of this time, but prior to Dr. Copes' death, they must have been 17 or 18, but still of not sufficient maturity to have the capability of cohesively handling the properties. Mm-hmm. And their lack of maturity and maybe ambition and the knowledge of their deficiencies may have been one of the reasons that they did not take more forthright efforts. The other sister's husband, who was an army officer, and there's only one descendant now, George Alkire, A-L-K-I-R-E, who is the third generation from Dr. Copes' daughter. Well, they had their endeavors up in Arizona, but again, displayed little or no interest in the property, and how they could ignore this Alkire army officer, whether his career in the army was carried on for a number of years, I don't know. But the Ball, having died in yellow fever, and none of his sons were old enough to do anything, but through chance and no circumstance, they dissipated the capital assets through possible necessity. But there's no evidence of them doing anything of a developing nature. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of downgrading the DeBalls.
Well, my family's very much like that. I had a very enterprising grandfather, and he got some land in East Texas and was a research chemist for Gulf Oil Company and developed Nonox and Gulf Pride Oil. And the family since then has had a history of, what was your phrase, placid ineptitude. I know what you're talking about.
Well, just think, if he had acquired Gulf stock in that early period, or have taken, some of the executives must have taken a participating interest, but presumably he was a scientist and interested in that engrossing character of his profession.
He was. He did acquire some Gulf stock, and his children have that. It hasn't passed to the third generation yet, though. But yes, it was mostly the scientific aspects that interested him rather than the entrepreneurial aspects.
Well, you see, since the era when he would have acquired the Gulf stock, the number of stock splits.
Yes.
could take a modest number of shares into large proportions, but again, it depends how that was subdivided amongst his descendants.
Yes. Well, sometimes these things remain mysterious. some people don't get to find out about these things.
Would you like to go to dinner?
Sure, if you'd like to. I am...